8751.
Thank you. Give them a call.
Thanks.
This is a special meeting of the Board of Directors of Groveland Community Services District on October 26th, 2018. It's 10 a.m. Call meeting order, make a pledge of allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of board members, Robert Swan is present, Scott Armstrong.
Here.
Spencer Edwards.
I'm here.
And Ms. Waschowski.
Here.
Nancy Mora. So all five directors are present, that is a quorum. The first item of business is to approve the order of the agenda.
I move that we approve the agenda.
And I will second that.
Moved and seconded to approve the order of the agenda as submitted. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So that is unanimously approved. I want to make one remark at this point, and I'm sorry about this, but I am going to have to leave at 12. The meeting may continue without me if you're still going strong. My ride's coming at 12. We're going to San Francisco, and if I don't get on the car, I'm going to die.
No, no.
Eventually.
Can't have that happen.
So I have, so we'll try to cover as much ground as we can, but I am going to have to leave at 12. So first item of business is to call a special meeting to award a contract for the Freddie line repairs. Mr. Jim.
Won't spend a lot of time belaboring it. We just need to act quickly to be able to match up with the county's schedule for their awarded contract for the repairs. And our contractor will be married with theirs and may be the same contractor. We're not absolutely certain yet. But I've thrown out a couple dates. If those, if we can make either of those work with the majority of the board, should be a pretty fast.
I can do either one as long as the meeting's reasonably short. I have a cataract surgery on Monday.
Which day is this now?
Oh, I recommended it for next Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
Is that next Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday, I'll be sitting on the election. We're working elections all day, so. We have to do it before 6:30 in the morning or after 8 p.m. that night. Other than that.
Maybe not.
Probably the 5th then.
It's the following, next Monday, Tuesday, 29th.
Yeah, so it's a week, I'm sorry. It's not next Monday, it's election week, you're right. So Monday, how's everybody looking?
Yeah, good. Monday, what time, 10 or 9 or whatever? It's just a quick moving, just a quick thing. Yeah, 10 a.m. Sounds good with me.
Okay, everybody good?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so I don't think we have to have a motion. Without objection, we will have a special meeting scheduled for November 5th at 10 a.m. to award a contract to work on the Freddie Road repairs. Yay.
Should be able to have the contract documents and bid sheet and everything to the board before the weekend. We open bids on the 30th, but then we've got a couple of days in case there are any corrections needed or anything else. So we'll get it to you as soon as we can.
Okay. So item 3 is approval of a CEQA notice of exemption for the fire station driveway rehabilitation project. A bit of background.
Just a simple recommendation. It's required as part of the Caltrans permit that we have to pull from that. We're not expanding the driveway. We're not changing the use of it. It's exempt under CEQA. We filed the notice with the county and with the state. And then from there, it just shortens the period of time that someone might submit a protest for, under CEQA. And worst case scenario, if someone did say, well, gosh, you know, it needs environmental review, then you do environmental review at that time. But there's nothing associated with this that is of concern, and it is exempt.
Just to share something, people, I didn't know this. I attended a class where they explained some of this to me. And so all these CEQA exemptions and whatnot, we do that. is no agency that reviews this and says, okay, you're exempt. We say, looking at the law, that we are exempt, which we are in this case because there's no expansion order. And then there's a 30 or 35 day, depends, protest availability period where if someone objects to the exemption, then it gets more complicated. But as long as no one objects, then we're done. I didn't understand that. I thought there was actually some sort of review. It's us. We do the review. Okay, I'll move that we approve the notice of exemption for the GCSD fire station project.
I'll second.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Well,
okay.
Discussion.
Yes, yes. Okay. Restoration of the existing surface. Aren't we extending this concrete, the cement out to where there's no asphalt covering, where there's no asphalt?
Yeah.
So we're restoring the existing area, but not the existing surface.
Right.
Okay.
What I meant by we're not expanding it or changing the use. If we were reconstructing the driveway because we were going to facilitate a different use of that building, some public use, where this was going to serve as the vehicle to be able to increase traffic or increase some type of environmental impact, then we would have to do an initial study under CEQA. But it doesn't matter whether it's concrete or whether it's asphalt or whether it's just a surface overlay over the top, you know.
Okay.
Anything that we do can be considered a project, and to get a permit, we have to call it a project and go through this action.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, so it has been moved and seconded to approve the notice of exemption for the GCSD project. Is there any further discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so we have approval of the CEQA notice of exemption. Good. Item 4 now, we're moving into discussion action related to developing norms for board member contact to facilitate effective deliberations and protocol to create the structure and process for effective board meetings. That's one of my favorite sentences. Karen?
We've been at this a significant amount of time, covered a lot of ground, and realized in putting this all together that we have very little left to do, but we need to check back in to where we've been, and we experienced that at the recent board meeting, and I definitely want to apologize about the fact that when it came to that particular meeting, when it came to the most recent meeting, John, where you were acting as president, in reality, the public comment is any item on the agenda. There's public comment in the beginning, there's public comment on reports, and there's public comment on every item of action of the board, whether or not you take action at that meeting or not. So I didn't communicate properly with you going into the meeting, but we got a little bit sideways when it became a discussion about answering questions. Okay, so there was some confusion. We will always take public comment, whether it's questions or whether it's comment, on action items and on reports. The thing is, and we'll talk a little bit about this as we go through this, we are limited on our ability to respond to things that are not listed on the agenda. And a report, a general manager's report, does not give enough description of what's going to be discussed for somebody to be able to come into the meeting and know, you know, or, hey, I'm going to come to the meeting because there's a general manager's report. That doesn't, it doesn't say anything. So in reports, they are Now they're really kind of considered a risky item on your agenda, just because there's a tendency to want to talk about it. And when it's just listed as reports, fire chief's report, admin report, general manager's report, it's really just communication. That doesn't mean that you can't have a clarifying remark or, you know, say, hey, let's get this on the agenda in the future. That's not a problem. But discussion on that and discussion on the general public comment in the beginning of the meeting that's not agendized, just anything that's not on the agenda. Back and forth discussion is not, it's not allowed. And that's the main thing. When we get to the action items on the agenda, that's where we've got, we can have good discussion about it. And this is where we'll focus in a little bit. I'll get back to that. I want to do some housekeeping first and cover some of the ground where we've been. And then we can resolve that part of it. But I do want to apologize about the way that went down, because that's not... It's not the intent of any of this. It's just there are certain things that we're limited on. So, again, this is, and I'm glad we got a room full, because this is, this is the core of how we do business. This is really important, and I'm not so much talking about the mission. I mean, the mission is about what we are. But the fact that this board needs to be able to hear what's said in the public and take that into consideration and respond to that. And we're definitely hearing from the public on this stuff now. So it's good to have everybody here. So our mission is very clear. We're here to provide environmentally sound, economic, and compliant services that meet our customers' needs. Water, wastewater, fire protection, and park facilities. And that is what we do every day. Really quickly, not to belabor it, the goals, we want to make sure that our processes allow us to be able to take public input for it to be heard, understood, and considered in the board's decision making, and then agree on appropriate board conduct to facilitate productive deliberations, and that involves developing meeting protocol that has structure and process, because sometimes you'll have a room full. You know, I realize we can say, oh, we've got a one-sided room, you know, there's not that many people here. It can be really informal. But how do you change that on the fly when you've got a room full? You're doing a multi-million dollar project, and you've got people on both sides, and everybody wants to talk. You know, so the purpose of this is to find a place in the middle that is somewhat flexible, but at the same time is understood and doesn't have to be changed on the fly. So this is where we've agreed, just to go back through some of this, because we've had a lot of discussion and we've come to a lot of agreements over time on this. And we went through it and we brought up all these issues and we determined whether we have a concern, whether we even need to talk about it. We came to agreement on many things. We talked about protocol, policy, and what we need to do moving forward. So we talked about board member norms for effective deliberations. We've dealt with relationship norms and capacity norms and communication norms. We've got process agreements that we went through. Preparation for board meetings, meeting conduct committees, relations in the community, external communications, and today we'll finish up with the communications piece and wrap up anything else. Okay, we've covered a lot of agreements, and so it's going to be the part that we actually need to get done today. I think is going to be fairly simple and straightforward. So we've got. This is the last little bit of the existing, the last little bit of facilitation that I'd be doing on the development of the norms and protocol. And I think these are just simple. Are you okay with just proceeding through these?
Sure.
Next few? Okay. So this is addressing community needs and concerns. These are specifically and in general related to billing, collection, policies, all of those kind of things. If we've got concerns that we're hearing from the public, you're hearing out in the street about shutoffs, about the way that bills are collected, the way that they're treated when they call the office, the you know, the accuracy of the meters, those kind of things. We want to make sure that we've got a process in place for carrying those concerns through and making sure that we take a look at our policies if we think our policies are wrong. So the other part of this is if we're seeing a need in the community for enhanced services or facilities, and with that, we've had some discussions about ball fields at the park, enhanced park facilities. We've had some conversations about emergency services and whether we need to be involved in that. The goal of this today is not to resolve that issue. We're not doing strategic planning, but just if there's a specific process that you want to have in place to be able to be able to consider these things and carry them forward. I'm just throwing it out there.
I guess so. I've been thinking about some of this stuff. I'm sorry I missed the last meeting. Did have a really nice vacation. There's a couple of things. One, a lot of this stuff with enhanced services and facilities, and we've talked about this in the past, but we've never actually decided to do it, is the notion that we need to involve the public or give the public an opportunity to be involved in strategic planning. I mean, we tend to think about strategic planning as being, well, how are we going to, you know, replace the pipe and that sort of stuff. And there's a certain amount of that that's just technical detail. But we, you know, my thought is that we ought to consider having once or twice a year a town hall kind of thing where people can come in and say, what do you want? Is there anything that we should be doing? You know, you can put posters up on the wall, you know, post-its and lay things out and try to figure out how it fits in. Because, you know, I don't know any other way to give people an opportunity to, you know, say what they're concerned about. Similarly to that, and maybe at a different kind of town hall meeting, this is a little more off the wall, is, you know, maybe once in a while we should have a meeting where we just let people come in and complain and, you know, express concerns. I should not say complain. Yeah. If you got stuff that you think we're not doing right, that we can't always address in regular meetings, because a lot of the stuff we've put together in terms of making agreements about how to run regular meetings is based on the notion that we'd really like to not have 4 and 5 hour meetings. Everybody gets tired and you don't get a hell of a lot of work done sometimes. And so, you know, some of it's aimed at trying to make things move well by staying focused on what it is and use the stuff that was put on the agenda. I don't want to ignore the stuff that's not on the agenda or stuff that may be on the agenda that requires a larger degree of consideration than we want to devote to it right then. So one potential alternative that occurs to me is having, you know, a open forum. Come in, tell us what you like, what you don't like, mostly what you don't like probably. And then we can talk about it at that time. You know, that anything is up for discussion. And maybe we have a different set of rules for discussion. We actually do talk about stuff just to get it out on the table. I don't know, it's a thought.
So I'd like to hear from the board, and then we'll bring up the public.
Yeah, I agree with that, Bob. I also want to make the comment that the 3 minutes at the beginning of the meeting is exactly for that type of thing. It's for that comment. It's for that, are you displeased with something? You have up to three minutes, depending on the crowd size, to go ahead and say whatever you want to the board. And that's what that 3 minutes is for. But I agree with Bob that a workshop should be more of the question, answer, the back and forth. That is a workshop, and I agree with that. But on the regular meetings, the comments should be made, questions could be posed, but the back and forth shouldn't happen, because that's when we get into trouble, is the back and forth. It puts everybody on the board at odds, it puts the people and the board at odds with the constituents. It's just not a good thing. And that's the only thing we were saying, is we're not going to do the back and forth. You have the 3 minutes, up to 3 minutes before the meeting, I mean at the beginning of the meeting, to comment on anything you want. And then at the beginning of each item, you should be able to have a comment as well. And that suffices, that works for the Brown Act, works for everything. It's a better meeting if we do it this way. If you have questions, it's like when I go and look at my board packet, if I have questions, I'll call Pete, or I'll you know, maybe talk to one other board member, because I can do that. And as a constituent, as a person out there, you should do the same thing. You get the agenda at the same times that we do. You should be able to go through it, and if you have questions, you can call Pete and pose those questions to Pete. And that's the proper time to do it. And then you have your comments all ready to go by the time the meeting comes. Because 3 minutes is a long time. Sorry.
That's your question. No, I'd like to look at the numbers first, please.
Oh, okay.
I agree to have an open session in a workshop type format, so I agree with that. And I think you could almost put a certain amount of structure in there, say, okay, has anybody got anything they'd like to see done or add, or are they concerned about in wastewater? You know, odors at lift stations, whatever, you know, manhole covers or whatever it is that is in it. And then, okay, and we talk about that, and then water, okay, water distribution and treatment, and then park, okay, and then fire protection, okay, maybe break it down into the four basic areas that we provide. That way people will know what we're talking about in that area and keep it a little bit structured, but still open enough to get free-flowing information from the community so that everybody has the opportunity to speak on a specific subject. I'm all for that. I want to hear from the community, because I don't know which way to vote on this stuff unless you guys tell me which way you want me to vote on it. You know, if you're all for something, great. If you got questions about it, well, let me know or let us know, and we'll get those questions answered and see. Maybe we are headed down the wrong path, or maybe we are taking the wrong direction on this, on what we want done. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Maybe a certain little bit of structure that can be discussed in an open forum like this. I'm for it. I'm for having an open session workshop.
You're not required to have anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a good idea. You know, we're constantly being told we're not transparent, we're not open, we're not everything. So let it all out, let people say what's on their mind, and we can address it at that point. We can't address things we don't know about.
I have a question first.
Sure.
If a subject should arise as it did at the last meeting, is it possible to adjourn the meeting and go into special session so that we can discuss without having the public here? So there is no, okay, that's not possible.
No.
Okay.
So, you mean go into closed session?
Okay, closed session. Yeah,
that's not one of the reasons you can do a closed session.
Okay. Well, I know there's no discussion supposed to take place between the directors and the public. No debate.
We've agreed to that.
Right. But we also can't stop and have a timeout or something to discuss it amongst ourselves. Okay, so that was.
That would be very non-transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So,
In particular, it's not one of the allowed exceptions.
What if we were to close? Okay. What if we were to do it where we'll just talk amongst us for a time? When that subject comes up in front of the public, we can
We could do
close,
that.
Close off the public for that moment. They can sit here and listen. You said it goes to the board and we discuss that topic. We can do that if we want to, I think. You know, and then that would take care of that.
That way the community hears everything we're discussing, which is important.
Right.
Okay, because that's what I would like to clarify, because I would have liked to have made more comments at that time, but wasn't sure how I was supposed to proceed. I'd like to thank Pete for verifying that all sections of the agenda are able to be commented on by the public, ask questions. There may not be deliberations between all of the folks in the room. If things can be easily explained by the general manager at that time, that's a perfect opportunity, and that just kind of gets it over with, answers it, gets it over with, and we can move on. And I would like to thank the members of the public that have contacted me directly regarding the meeting. And unfortunately, after the members of the public left the meeting, there was further discussion on the topic that the members were concerned about. And if they had stayed, it would have been set to rest at that time. I think that there were a few board members that were a little concerned on how it was being handled. John did a great job. I want to comment him, commend him for that. You did. We did what we intended to do, which was not to debate the public and deliberate during that portion of the meeting, and that's what we accomplished. Yeah. But there were circumstances where it should have been, I think, changed at that time. And I think that's it.
Can I just say one more thing real quick? And if I made it sound, if I came across, you know, I might not have been real clear on every item being addressed by the public. And if I didn't, you know, say that clearly, that every item should be able to be addressed by the public, I'm sorry. So, but yeah, I agree.
Okay, so I would like to... There's not a time limit on this. Do I have 3 minutes to whip this out? Should I talk real fast, or can I?
You know, you can say an awful lot in 3 minutes.
All right, this is what I want to say. I think your perception of what went wrong at the last meeting is a little off by having a town hall meeting so the public can talk about their grievances. What happened at the last meeting, the way I saw it, was you guys want your meeting shorter, okay? You don't want back and forth. I agree with that. But the way I think it should be done is when you have an agendized item, whoever it is, whether it's P or the president of the board, reads that item. After that, the board discusses it. It's important that the board discuss it first before the public, because many times you answer my questions in your discussion. So that eliminates me from, because I write this stuff down. I read the board packet the night before. So that eliminates me asking the certain questions.
Can I just say something?
Okay.
That is the policy. That is what we've agreed we would do.
But,
I don't know how it went in the last meeting,
but
that is...
Then after the board discusses it, when it goes to the public, we should be able to comment. Or if there's a question in what you're discussing, what is wrong with us asking the question if you know the answer? I'm not saying if the manager doesn't know the answer to go hunt it down, but usually if the board doesn't know the answer, our manager does know the answer. So that's how it's been in the past, but I felt, in my opinion, and I'm saying this very strongly, I felt the public was shut down at the last meeting. And many times when you say debates, what happens is the public will say their point of view or make their comment or whatever, and if a board member doesn't like it, then they come back to the public and want to argue. That's where you cut it off. After the public makes their comment, asks their question, and gets their answer. That makes more sense. I don't think people that attended that meeting and other people that have stopped me on the street and asked me about it need a special town hall meeting to come and complain. They'll do that anyhow. I think you're wasting your time. I think it was the procedure and the way things went, unfortunately, at the last meeting. And I think it's not that hard to correct it, because we all want to be on the same page. We want to know, I want to know what your business is, the GCSD business, because you're supposed to conduct it publicly. So that's my opinion. I don't know about anybody else that's here. I just wanted to make that clear. That's where I think we're getting off track.
Okay, thank you.
And just FYI, that was just barely over 2 minutes.
Oh, thank you.
Three minutes is really quite a lot.
Is that a tear in your
eye? I put some drops in.
Oh, okay.
That's okay, thank you.
I know you weren't crying.
No, it's only one eye. Thanks, Chris.
You have actually, I mean, what you just said is things that we've agreed on as our meeting procedure policy, including that board members, I mean, one of the things is, just FYI, is that board members are not individually supposed to go get into discussions with members of the public. I mean, we are a board, and, you know, similarly, just as the other side of that one is, you shouldn't be asking a board member individually to explain something to you about what they feel, because we're, you know, it's the board. We find out what the board feels by watching how we vote. If somebody wants to say, here's my reasoning when we're having the discussion, this is why I think we should do this or not do this, that's fine. But we don't want to get into direct, you know, interrogation, I guess would be the term, you know, how to justify why you're doing this. Or that, you know.
But may I make one more point? I think it's important that if you have a report, like a manager's report, it would be nice to have it in writing. And I know Pete doesn't like to type, and I'm offering to give you a program, my expense, where you can talk to the computer and it'll type it out for you. I will buy that for you.
I have, get that one for my
too. It's important so we have some reference point in the future. It's really important, and I think, I mean, speaking from the heart, it would be so nice because that's your transparency. You don't need to make a big town hall meeting or whatever. This would work if we had something to reference what you're speaking about so we can look at it. Because when I read these things, that's where I make, when I read all this information or a manager's report, I would put my questions there and ask it at the meeting. And you don't have to know the answer at the meeting. If you say, okay, I'll get back to you tomorrow or the next day, that's fine. But I like to ask my question in front of the full board because maybe it'll spark something off for you guys to know more about what's going on. So I think that's really important.
I'm going to just remark about, sorry, about my suggestion about having a town hall meeting format kind of thing. It's just a thought. I mean, it's a concept, and my real thought was it would be like a backstop. It's a catch-all in case stuff that, you know, people have thoughts and for some reason an appropriate time to bring them up at one of the other meetings just didn't happen. I agree with you that, you know, we should be able to cover most of the material that's in the meeting. But if you want to talk about, I mean, let's say you want to bring up a concept about maybe you should conduct the meetings differently. Well, there's really never been there's never going to be an agenda item for how, except for this meeting,
right.
Or about how to conduct the meeting. So it's just a place where to bring up things that might fall into the crack. Not frequently, just something for people that have something they want to suggest. It's just a thought. It's just an idea, isn't adopted. Yes, sir?
I see a couple of new faces that have been absent from the board and are back at the board, Mr. Selby and Mr. Canepa. You guys got anything you'd like to say? I appreciate your comments. When you've given comments in the past, they've been really well taken. And anybody out there, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. It's not my intent. I've appreciated your comments in the past, and they've been well taken. Anybody out there would like to jump in and say something, man, this is a small community. I see you guys at the grocery store, and you see me at the grocery store, and that's where we all meet anyway. So,
looks like he wants to say
Mr.
something.
Canepa, sir.
Forgot what I was
going to
say.
Oh, doggone it. I do that all the time.
We're talking about complaints from the public. I know this is really, really, really far out, okay? But why don't we just add a comment section to the GCSB website? I mean, that would be like a bomb.
That's a good idea.
I'm just...
Oh, geez.
Well, okay.
No, it's a good...
That's a magnificent idea. Can we do that? Is that possible?
I don't do it all the time. Not sometimes, only one or two.
That's an interesting idea.
And number two is...
Are you talking about to be able to submit comments?
Yeah.
Like sending an email?
Yeah, just like a comment section on...
Like a blog, I mean, like a, you know, put up a web...
No, we can't have a blog. We can't have a blog on a website, because it would, that would be a disaster to try to, it would be a disaster to try, it's like having an open Facebook page, you know, districts are dedicating full-time staff.
Well, yes, you have to go back and monitor on that. It has to be moderated.
But I mean, as far as comment, you know, it's one-way comments in, you know, and then an expectation that we're going to take those up is completely understandable.
This is not a totally satisfactory approach to that, but it's a way to do it that doesn't involve getting into the moderation part. Just an email form? I mean, so
there's a comment form on the website.
They can submit questions, and then we could post them.
The problem is you do have to have some moderation. For a public agency, we can't just be published, you know, putting up everything anybody sends in, because sometimes people send in some pretty weird stuff.
I understand that, and that's exactly like I said, it could be like a bomb, you know.
You're trying
to get, you know, the feeling of the public, my feeling with the public as far as dealing with public agencies like this over the years, is that, you know, who cares? As long as you don't take too much money out of my pocketbook. That's all. I mean, that's fine.
And the water still flows.
You know, it's like contract negotiations in organized labor. You can have 4,000 members that belong to a particular local, and unless it's contract time, nobody shows up for the meetings. There's 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 people that that come to these meetings. Anyway, the second thing I want to ask was, did we agree just a little while ago that action items could be commented on by the public each one?
Yes, sir.
Well, I want to chide the board president today. I want to take you to task. He didn't ask anybody. He didn't ask anybody about a comment, public comments, after each action item.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's enough. Oh. That's good enough.
Oh.
We also didn't ask for public comment at the beginning of the meeting on non-agenda items.
You don't have general public comment on special meetings.
At special meetings? Okay.
It's only regular
meetings. Well, is this a special meeting or is it a
special
meeting?
This is a special. There's regular meetings and special meetings. Special meetings are supposed to be very limited topics.
Okay, so my understanding then is that the action items today, under a special meeting or future special meetings, you don't ask for public comments after each action
item. I'm sorry, I apologize. I asked for discussion, and I didn't actually say, is there any public comment? And
I didn't ask for discussion.
Oh, yeah. We moved and seconded. I didn't say, we have traditionally just let anybody comment at that point. But you're right. You're absolutely right. I did not do that right. I apologize. Retrospectively, does anybody have any comments?
That's part of the problem. It's a communication thing. We absolutely have to, and that's why I want to go through a couple of slides real quick, because we absolutely have to have the board president say,
public comment is now open.
Yep. Public comment is now closed. And then, for public, general public comment, I mean, when we get to agenda items, we'll talk about that. But, I mean, that way there's a very clear understanding, because I heard you say, are there any questions? And you said that to the public after the board deliberated about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't know that the public really understood that as, okay, now is the time for public comment.
I can train myself to say, is there public comment?
You've got to use the word public.
So can we just jump through these? Because this, if we can just all come away with some form of agreement on some form of this, then I think that we've got a starting place, okay? And so this is a recommended procedure. This is non-agenda items. Public comment in the beginning of the meeting. Okay, this is how to work through that.
Actually, let me make a remark, because it just occurs to me, because I want to throw this out there. We could agree that we're required to provide public comment on non-agenda items at a regular meeting. we could adopt a policy that we're going to stick that at the beginning of every meeting, including special meetings. I mean, I just want to throw that out to the, we can talk and discuss that.
Anything that improves the interaction between the group sitting there and us is on my okay.
Required to.
Right. And in reality, the purpose of this, and this has been tried and tested in the courts and in practice, is that that public comment section is to take public comment, to give the public an opportunity to talk about anything related to district business. They can even complain about employees by name. That's just, unfortunately, the courts have gone that way, and so that's the way it is.
Got a comment.
So at that time, if there is something that a board member would like to have further discussion on, we can ask that it be added as an agenda item at the next meeting, correct?
My recommendation would be a future meeting. If you say next meeting, that could be a tall order depending on what the issue is, because we don't just prepare an agenda and put an agenda out without some thought behind it of, you know, if we're talking about a contract or an issue, we're going to provide the board with the information that backs that up in a way. How do we come to that? Otherwise, we don't have anything to discuss. So it does take some staff time to get ready for. So it might be, you know, if it's an urgent issue, and if the board says, yeah, absolutely, on the next agenda, then we'll just plan on putting it on the next agenda.
Okay.
It's just...
Okay. Yeah.
But fundamentally, the future time, if it really is important,
right,
pick the time, we can pick the time.
I just remember as being a constituent and being in the audience at PML meetings, when you ask for something and you've got to wait 3 months before it shows up on an agenda, it just, you know, the public is not, I'm not satisfied with that, personally. So I would, you know, of course, in this situation, like to see it on the agenda as soon as possible, or as soon as
how long will it take to get this on the agenda?
Yes.
So back to that specific point, because we, in our discussions over on this process in the past, we talked about those items wouldn't be, not every item is going to go immediately on the board's agenda. It goes to the general manager and board president to determine, you know, is it on the next agenda? Is it an agenda item? Is it just a clarification? Is it a report? Is it a response between management and that person? Is it, so there's some decisions to be made too, because sometimes it comes up as a passionate item and there's no awareness of it. We can't have a discussion about it, but it's something that I could easily resolve. Mm-hmm. And so we would do that and then report out, you know, that would be something that we'd report out about and say, you know, this concern came up and we handled it at the staff level or whatever. And in reality, if that staff level discussion doesn't fix it, if the customers or whoever is public member or board member still concerned about it and it didn't wind up on the agenda, we talked about the process then. They could raise it in public comment and the board could say, okay, it is going to go on the agenda, you know. So in other words, the first step is to take the comment under advisement and direct it to the board president and general manager for consideration for the upcoming agenda. I mean, and that's just, again, this is your process. I'm just trying to keep, because you can have an agenda filled with just stuff. Yeah. If you took everything and just turned it over onto the agenda.
The most salient part of your discussion here is that a lot of times those things that come up can actually be resolved offline. I mean, if it's an informational question, we can say, okay, figure out the answer and get back to this person. And in many cases, that will obviate it having to become a board discussion item at some future time. But other things do require board discussion. And there's, you know, basically, in my view, we've talked about this before, is that if any, you know, if a board member wants something to get onto the agenda for a future discussion, then they probably should be getting onto the agenda. I mean, you have the right to submit a, you know, send Jennifer a form, and it has to go on the agenda.
Real quick before, and this is just a procedural thing, before we go out to the public, I'd like to just make sure that we've gone through the board on discussion about these four items, four and a half. The 3A was what we just talked about. And make sure that if, is there an initial agreement among the board? Again, we're gonna actually take action on these hopefully in November, but.
So I'm in the sense of having a policy.
Maintain a consistent time limit. Board's not going to have discussion and debate, and this is public comment, not agenda items, except for maybe clarification. Did you mean next week? You know, something like that is okay. You know, the board and staff cannot answer most questions. If somebody says, "Are you having a meeting next week?" Yeah, I mean that. A simple yes or no or something is fine, and to be able to respond to. And then you can refer it to the board president and GM to discuss for a future agenda. And again, understanding that the sooner we get these things off of our concern list, the better. And then the board president will formally close the public
comment. Actually, I think you needed item zero, which is the board president will formally open the public comment.
Yeah.
Can that be added to the agenda? Like approve order of agenda and then action, and then president will open.
It is on the
regular. It's on the regular. It's on the regular meeting.
On the regular meeting,
there's a place for public comment.
Yeah,
they're pretty much a script by which we go.
Right. Yeah. But you want the words that say president will open.
No, I just wanted to verbalize it.
Okay.
So that if you know, it doesn't matter as much that it's on paper, but when you're in the meeting, if the to make it very clear, somebody's not paying attention, if they're chattering on the side or whatever, and they're not really or they're not. Some people are just nervous, you know, and want to be told. Now is the time for public comment for items that are not on the agenda, unless you can't stay for that item on the agenda, and we'll consider your comments now. You know, I mean, those are good things to say, to verbalize, so that people are aware.
Okay. Thank you.
I agree with it.
I think that does what we want. I'll just say, because I noticed a few people nodding, I'm just going to make a suggestion, I'm going to pose that we go ahead and do this on special meetings as well.
Yeah.
Just every meeting.
Yes, I like that.
I agree with that.
I think every time we convene.
Sure.
Well, special meetings,
regular meetings, special meetings is it, so that American meetings. Yeah. Is there any objection that, let's add, well, we don't actually have to. Well, it's part of the procedure.
I just didn't know.
Is there out there?
Any public comment?
What do you guys think about that?
Public comment on public comment.
Absolutely. I think it's great.
Sounds good.
Okay, the next item. We'll just move. Okay, can we briefly? Okay, this. I'm sorry. I had it on full screen, and it wanted to go over the top of each other for some reason. But so this was the last item there. The GM will briefly address questions from the public. Or may address questions from public comment in the informational staff report. In other words, that's part of that. If there's something that comes up, and when I get to my report, this is the only dilemma with having the report in writing, is I'm not going to be able to address immediate things or things that come up after the report's prepared. It may be a week and a half stale already before we get to the meeting. So understand that if I did put it down in bullet list, it's not going to be totally current. The reason for the report is kind of just a purge of what's going on.
So you have a
but I may be able to answer questions.
You have a bullet at the end for other stuff, recent developments. If you're putting in bullets, you have a bullet at the end where you just have, then you can say whatever it is that is new.
Well, it'll be part of the report. Unless it's specifically listed on the agenda, we can't have the discussion on it, even if it's a recent development. It's, you know, on reports is what you're talking about, right?
Why does it have to be written? This is a report, not an action item, so it doesn't really matter whether it's on the agenda or not.
No, I'm saying I can, but I don't know that I need to put on the agenda general manager's report and recent developments. Is that what you're...
No, I'm just saying, well, you were saying that you were, I mean, I thought I may have misunderstood what you were saying. Sorry, John. I thought you were saying that once you wrote this out, you were only going to be able to report on the things you had written down.
Oh, no.
And I don't believe that that's true.
No.
That's all.
No. Yeah. I mean,
I don't understand why it has to be written. I mean, if...
Well, we have all our other reports are written.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's nice to know what's going to be discussed.
Yeah.
It's not written, it didn't happen. Report.
So, understanding...
So just like an outline.
That from public comment, to keep that... You know, organize, open the public comment, get the comment, close the public comment. There may be things that I can address when we get to my report. But it's just going to be an answer to it. It's not going to be a discussion. But are you still okay with adding that to the public comment? It's part of this.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, and now 5. The GM may briefly address questions.
Mm-hmm.
See if it's going, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't mean if I don't... if I don't get to them, you know, I will probably write them down, and I will at least say I need to do some research to answer that question or something. You know, I'll try to at least give some type of response. So then the next item, which is where we the informational items thing, and again, there are attorneys at council don't have reports on your agenda, have action items only. You know, public comment and action items. Just because reports can be pretty dynamic, they're not always written, and they don't always contain everything that's in a written report, and so there tends to be a tendency to want to have interactive discussion about it because it's stuff you may not have heard. So I'm painfully aware of that, and I'm going to be much more careful about. If I put an item on the agenda that may need some extended discussion and action, it's going to, you know, we'll work with the board president, but it'll go right up in the center part of the agenda and not under information reports, because that's, we don't want it to be confusing at all. We want it to be absolutely crystal clear. So we provide those because it's really for transparency, you know, and I think they're a good thing. The public comments, this is a suggestion. You haven't really talked about this before. Give a report and then have public comments at the conclusion of that report. Because if we said, okay, we're going to do staff reports, public comments, you know, then you get public comments on something that hasn't been discussed. It might be a written report and there's something to discuss, but I think it might be more appropriate to just have the report, you know, make sure there was clarity in the board and then get public comments.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're saying that at the end of all the reports, we will have public comment, or at the end of each report? I would like to be able to ask, I'm sure that community would also, a question to Louis on his report, or a question on staff report, or, you know, at that moment when we've just heard what the report is, not 15 or 20 minutes or a half an hour later when every report has been introduced to us.
But, okay, first off, on that point, because I understand what you're saying. The reports are not going to be a question and answer period.
Correct.
That's the thing, because what happens is then you tend to get into back and forth, and us as staff start to give back and forth information about board deliberations that haven't been put on the agenda.
Okay.
Okay, so
it's public, if it's a public comment about a report that you just spoke about,
mm-hmm.
Why can't the public comment then rather than at
that's,
the
that's fine. It was just your statement about interacting with
yeah,
answers
yeah,
and questions.
Yeah, I didn't mean interaction. Okay. Yes, right. I just
answered
at
my
the
question.
End of each report. Okay.
So that answered my question.
So I think, I mean, just to clarify, I think, see if I've got what you're suggesting correctly. I mean, this is essentially somebody's giving a presentation, and we're going to ask everyone, including board members, to hold their questions until the end of the presentation. One person, one presentation. Okay, when somebody finishes speaking, then it's the end of that presentation, and then you can ask questions for clarification.
Or comments. Sort of,
or make comments.
Yeah, so they can give another 3 minute, up to 3 minute comment.
Comments, yeah. I mean, most of the time it's probably going to be clarifying questions.
Right.
And I'm going to suggest that the board should adhere to that as well. You know, jumping in to ask a question just because. Yeah.
Right.
Just because it comes to mind. Write it down.
Write it down.
Remember it or something. Yes, ma'am.
I agree with that.
I just have a question. Every now and then I have a question on a financial, and I'll ask a question, and it's a real quick answer. So, but I think you've moved that into, like, the consent calendar. So is that still where, if there's a question on...
That's an agenda item, so you can ask a question about it.
But it's not in consent calendar.
It's been in the consent calendar.
I think you've moved it. Am I correct, Pete?
Well, when we come to the consent calendar...
The board is asked if we want to consent, but not the public. So if they have a question about something that's on the consent calendar...
No, I understand the problem. I'm trying to think about, have we talked about how to deal with that? Because if a board member notices that there's something that they want to bring up, you can remove it from the consent calendar.
Right. Correct.
And you get public comment on before you approve the consent calendar, and so the public can say, I'd really like to have a conversation about...
Yes, for that particular one, for the consent calendar, we should probably ask if there is any prior to the consent calendar. Well, because we haven't approved it yet. We have to ask for public comment before we approve
it. It's just a way for you to approve it in a single motion, but if, you know, but again, this is where I strongly recommend, especially with the financial information, that is something that's best answered before the meeting, just because we're not going to have the entire file or the access to Springbrook or something sitting at the desk. And so we may not be able to answer it. And, you know, that is not always, it's not always a productive thing. So the best thing would be to ask in advance.
Let me finish here. Can I finish this on the subject here?
No.
So most of the questions that are asked under finances are, what is Mr. Smith and Company? They're not asking detailed information on, well, what did you do on this date? No one's asking that.
No,
they're just saying, what is this vendor? What I'm saying is,
if you had asked before the meeting on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday before the meeting, what is Mr. Smith and vendor, we could have sent an email, a text, just said what Mr. Smith and vendor is.
That's the way it should work.
If a constituent wants to ask a question on a non-agenda item, and the reports, including financial, are not an agenda item, they can ask it at the beginning of the meeting during public comments. If an answer can be given at that time by the manager or staff, she knows who so-and-so is. It's usually a question, like Kay said, of who is so-and-so, or did somebody get an extra check or something, whatever it is. That can be answered at the beginning of the meeting under public comments.
No.
It can be asked at the beginning of the meeting under public comments because it's not an agenda item.
But it's an agenda item.
It is, though. It's on the
staff reports are not under agenda item. It's under consent calendar. And public. The public is asked if they have questions before we approve the consent calendar.
John.
So basically, what Janice is saying is at that point, that's when you ask your questions. You're not going to get, oh, by the way, who's this? And then somebody's going to answer it.
Go back again. Where do you ask that question on a financial thing before you approve
it? It's a report. Okay, it's a report. So we're going to have a place for public comment, and that's where you would pose that question in your public comment. And then at the end, if the general manager can answer that question right away, he will. If he can't, he'll get back to you. If you saw the question beforehand, the best thing would have been to do is to call the general manager and talk to him on the phone and do that.
Not before meeting, you can't get a hold of someone.
You can leave a message and he'll get back to you. Okay. Or you can call one of the board members.
All right, John, okay, wait a second. So right now, okay, first of all, what John just said is actually a good point. If you just have an informational question because you look at the packet, the simplest way to address that is to ask the question before the meeting and just get your answers.
You vote on accepting the financials at the meeting, correct?
I actually am talking.
Okay.
So the current process with the consent, having it on the consent calendar, is because approving the consent calendar is an action item. At the point where we go, is there any, you know, moved and seconded, is there any discussion, is there any public comment? At that point, you could say, I'd like to ask a question about something that's on the financial thing. And we could at that point decide to remove it from the consent calendar, and probably would. If somebody's got a question, we'll try to discuss it. What we might do for the consent calendar is actually change the process very slightly for the consent calendar and ask ahead of time before we move in seconds mm-hmm. to accept it.
Yes.
Does anybody got any questions about anything on the consent calendar?
Thank you.
And if it does, then we take it out.
That's easy.
Yeah, so we need to, is it?
Yeah.
That's fine.
But I mean, still, if it's just an informational question, the easiest thing to do is call, you know, is just email or call and ask the question. I mean, you don't have to wait till the meeting.
The public can comment, and the board can either pull the item and have separate discussion or not. Yeah. I mean,
I can pretty much guarantee you that if anybody wants to talk about anything, if no one else, will pull it out.
Thank you.
Understand that the purpose for the consent agenda is because, in reality, those bills have already been authorized, approved by three people within, and paid.
Okay.
They're already paid, so it's really it's a disclosure action.
The only thing we're trying to get away from, I mean, we want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. I mean, that's how we do our business, is to hear from our constituents. The only thing we're trying to get away from is this back and forth, willy-nilly. Just, I want to ask this question. You'll have a section where you can pose all those questions and concerns in a lump right there. We're not going to have it to where we're arguing back and forth. That's where the whole meeting starts to go awry. That's where people get upset. That's where stuff happens. So that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to have a very nice meeting, you know, with decorum and make it nice. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. We want to hear from you. That is the most important thing to us, is to be transparent and hear from everybody in this district.
I think we got it here. Yes. I mean, as far as the consent agenda, we'll have comments up front and then address them.
Usually the quickest question answer is kind of like he was saying, who is Bob Smith Inc. or something like that. We've talked about getting a little comment section on that report where that could say landscaping or could say whatever Bob Smith Inc. is doing. You know, if we can get that to work out in Spring Book, which I understand is not necessarily user-friendly, that would answer probably, I'll make up 90%. It'll answer a lot of those questions before they're ever asked, because that's what it's for. It's, you know, a one or two word landscaping, refund check, you know, whatever it was. Could help that.
The whole point of the consent calendar, just to reiterate the obvious again, is it's supposed to be a place to stick stuff that is non-controversial, has no content to it, just so we can get a bunch of stuff out of the way without having a whole bunch of motions. And that's all. And if it turns out one of the things is controversial or requires explanation, we pull it out and consider it separately.
And we've done that.
And another alternative would be, instead of pulling it out, to just say, can you address that question before we vote on the consent calendar? And it's probably just going to be a quick answer. If the answer is not there, you may want to pull it so we can have more discussion.
But,
I think we
That's to be clarity on the consent calendar and that kind of stuff. So then the, I think the, as far as taking comments, the board okay, having comments, we'll, you know, have manager's report, fire chief's report, admin report, and we'll have comments after each one, and see how that works. And then, again, no deliberation or discussion unless it's listed on the agenda. So items on the agenda, this is the one that I think most everybody's used to, other than public comment. So board president introduces it, staff report, initial board discussion, that's what Kay was talking about. You know, so you've got staff report that explains it, then you've got initial board discussion to vet any questions, or, you know, board members might state their, you know, I'm all in, or I'm all against, or whatever. And then, but you don't have extended deliberations. You just make sure that you're clear with the staff report, initial input, and then specifically open and receive public comments. I like to open public comments now, and then make it very clear. Receive the public comments, and the comments may be comments and questions. But they are questions in the form of a comment. And then the board proposes public comment, and then staff can address the questions that were raised, if, you know, if those things are, if that's appropriate. And most of the time it is. Most of the questions are just, you know, I can go on forever, or I can't go on forever, you know. Sometimes it just doesn't get covered, or the question doesn't get answered, and it's pretty easy for me to respond to that. So then the board president closes public comment. I'll answer questions that came up. There may be more questions from the board, but we don't go back and forth, and then the board has a deliberation and gets to the point where they vote.
Like it.
And that can be 3 minutes of just questions. Mm-hmm. Someone has nothing but questions, yeah, and they want 20 things answered on this. I'll do my absolute best to get every one of them. You know, usually I've thought of these things through.
Okay. This is what happens. You don't get 20 questions or 10, but what happens many times, it happens with me, I will ask a question. Then when the answer is given to me, there's something else added there that wants to ask a question again. It's like you're adding some extra information instead of just giving that answer. And it's informative information. So sometimes that requires me to say, wait, you just brought up another question. So you're saying we can't ask that second question if your answer to the public generates another question.
Because what that does, that opens up the back and forth. And
but you provide
information. Excuse me, we're doing back and forth. We can't be doing that. I'm going to make a comment. It opens up the back and forth, and that's what gets this whole process out of order. It becomes hostile. It's not right, and I'm tired of it myself. I'm not going to change. This is what I like, and this is what I want to stick with. This is what I've been pushing for a long time, to make these board meetings a lot better and a lot more friendly. And I'm sorry, but we can't have it just open-ended, willy-nilly. You can ask every question that comes to your mind whenever you want to ask it. We'll never get done. We spend sometimes over an hour on one item, and the same questions get beat into us over and over and over again sometimes. And it becomes a big argument, and that's when it's bad. So we have to limit it to a certain point. 3 minutes is a long time. If you study your agenda, you should be able to have everything in your mind that you want to ask.
Okay.
Sir?
Yeah, on Kay's question, the answer John gave, I can't agree with, because if you stay focused and you don't get off on a tangent,
There's not a debate. She's asking a question. He answers the question.
No, there
was no argument there. It's answering questions. There's no argument. She asks you what comes after B, and you say C, which drives her to say, well, what comes after C, and you say D. That's not a debate.
So no, it's opening the door for the debate.
You're focused. You're not going off on a tangent.
Okay, excuse me.
And that's in the past meetings I've been to meetings before, John, you know that. I've seen the thing go for an hour on one question because it tangents is confusing. People are all over the place. And that I think is a problem. It's not a debate. It's, oh, now we're talking about, we started with apples, you ended up on oranges. And I've seen that millions of times in these meetings. And you've seen it yourself.
So I'm going to make one. So, you raise a good point.
Thank you.
My way of looking at this is, you know, you could have a situation, this would occur, the thing you're describing is if there's factual questions and answers going on here. If somebody's saying, you know, what does this line item mean? Or something like that, and if you wait till the end and then you get the answer that means that, I don't know, we're writing a check to a political party or something, and then, you know, something illegal, and then you got to go on for that. I'm trying to come up with a suitable example. So I'm just going to, I know you like it this way. I'm just going to say, so what if it's a factual question asked of staff to be clarified. And we're not talking about a position. We're not talking about getting into it. What we got to avoid is getting into debates. We're getting into talking back and forth with the public. So if you're asking a question that can be answered, if the member of public, anybody, is asking a question that is a question that can be answered by staff, it has something to do with the factual substance of what we're discussing. I would think it would make sense to answer if we know the answer, to answer the question right then, to see whether or not that leads to some other, you know, line of reasoning. And so, but what we must not do is have that become an expression, you know, have the board start expressing opinions about it, or have the member of the public expressing an opinion. If it's just a question, it's a clarifying question, I think there's something to be said for the idea of answering it right then, as clarification, just to get it out of the way. You know, and then if there is no follow-up, then you're done, okay, and then there's nothing to do. But that has to be confined, you got to be careful about what we mean by a clarifying question. It has to be something that is substantial and, based on wanting a clarification of a factual thing. Not an opinion, not, don't you think we should do, no, just a question about something. If it's a, don't you think we should do something about this, that would be something we might have further discussion of at the board discussion point. Spence is actually next on you. Sorry.
Most of the problems start when somebody speaks out of turn. I would say, in my year here, 90% of the times, the problem starts when somebody speaks out of turn. Community member Aardvark may be speaking. Board member Aardvark says, well, it's my turn to talk. Well, what you're doing is, no, it's my turn to talk. And how many times have you heard that in here?
That's
100 times. If you speak when it's your turn to speak, then it's good. And then he'll ask for the next person to speak. Or he or she or the person sitting in the president's chair will say, okay, thank you, John, board member Armstrong. Ms. Crow, don't interrupt, because that causes the problem. I've seen it happen over and over, because the person who interrupted makes the person who's speaking say, don't interrupt me, and say, well, I want to say, and then it goes back and forth. There is back and forth. Let's knock that off. We're grown-ups here. We all get a time to talk. So don't interrupt. It's rude, and it's publicly uncivil. I'm done.
Since we're just kind of trying to button up the, you say, I'm now opening public comment, I'm now closing public comment. on that second round after, because something was said that now prompted another thing, you know, maybe something, like you just said, don't get off on some other tangent or ask for an opinion. You know, like, so basically that second question is, do you have any other, are there any other comments on newly released, or newly released information? Released isn't the right word. But it basically, it's you know what I'm saying? Before I had the perfect word in my head, but I forgot what it was now. You know, it's like whatever Pete just presented, newly presented information, yes, that it was supposed to be. Yeah. Then that would kind of limit it to, this is what the questions are about.
So let me make sure I understand what you just proposed. Is it basically a second round of public comment after the questions are addressed?
I think I was just...
I'd rather have it happen in process.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah,
not have a second round.
I think I was just kind of adding on to what you were saying, rather than just kind of leave it loosey, you know, kind of literally let it be, you know, any further comment on this newly presented information? Because the answer was newly presented information.
Okay.
Would it make sense to have a clock on the front of the table facing the public, and a 3-minute time slot would be sufficient time to ask an initial question, get an answer? If it triggered another question, ask that question, get a simple answer. Would that be reasonable? If it's held within the policies that are established, and it doesn't become a back-and-forth argumentative state, no one's interrupting anyone else, it's held as a professional meeting as we are seated in now. Doesn't that make sense?
No, because the public gets 3 minutes per question. So they receive
per
information.
Per agenda item.
Yes.
And 3 minutes is a long time.
Well, okay.
I'm saying if it needed
to. They get to comment on each. They get a 3-minute time slot to make their comment on each subject, was my understanding of reading.
And as we go through.
So if there's a new information and they have a new question, their 3 minutes starts all over again.
I see.
No.
That's what it says.
Okay, first off, let me go back to the Brown Act, okay?
Yeah.
The Brown Act only, the Brown Act doesn't say 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, okay? The Brown Act just says that you've got to receive public comments, okay? It also says that the board has the ability to adopt reasonable rules and regulations and time limits for public comment so that it can conduct its business. So that's what we're trying to do, is within those parameters, because there's two things that are a slippery slope with this discussion. And no, this is not my preferred, I mean, it is, but it's not, this is your process. So let's, you know, let's get that one clear. But the the one thing that is sure is when you set a time limit, you need to keep that consistent. Okay? Because there are times when you can say, okay, we've heard the same thing 100 times, and so we're going to cut it back to a minute unless you have something new to bring. You know, that happens in a really controversial issue, and that's totally appropriate as long as you say it in advance. We're not going to have that issue that much. But when you say now is the time for public comment, and if you start the clock for 3 minutes, how does that work if that is then this speed dating question and answer back and forth? How much of that is my time? How much of the 3 minutes is taken up by me responding and the comment of the person? That's a really difficult thing to do, because the first thing that happens is they'll say, he took up most of my time. Let me keep going. And so again, we're not trying to limit it. We're trying to make it where everybody understands, and we've got a reasonable framework to work within, and there can be some flexibility based on the circumstances. But for the most part, what I'm recommending is you can ask a lot of questions in 3 minutes. You can make a lot of comment and ask a lot of questions. If there is, if the response when we get back to the board is such that it truly raises
in many cases, it's just going to raise, it's going to raise the awe factor, and people are going to want to try harder in some cases to convince the board of what they were trying to convince them before. It's not a matter of asking more questions, it's a matter of saying the same thing over again in a different way, because maybe you didn't hear it the time before. So we've just got to, I'm fine with answering questions a bunch of times, but the board is going to have to be able to sit there and let this go for, I don't know how you limit it a second, I don't know if you, two rounds of three, I've never seen it done that way. You know, it's always, it can be five, if you want to do 5 minutes. And
that isn't the length of time, I don't think, John.
Actually, the length of time.
I see you back there.
From the way I understand it, I mean, if we had, let's say we're talking about the sewer rate, and we have 15, 20 people, 30 people in the room, well, we might limit it to a minute apiece because of the time. And that's totally within the board's decision to do that. I don't see how you can go from, you know, you have a comment at the beginning or wherever we put it of each item for, let's say, on a size room this size, 3 minutes. That's plenty of time to comment and make your feelings heard, pose questions. Then if the general manager can answer some of those questions, he will. But I don't know how we're going to go from that and then go into, well, I've got another question. I've got another question. When does it end? How many questions are able to be posed, and how long will that go on?
Well,
and, you know, so it's that's the whole thing, is you've got to, it's got to be limited.
Yes, sir. I think the debate should be amongst the board members, not amongst the board members and the public. So correct. If a public person is asking you a question, you guys are the ones that debate it, instead of getting into this debate back and forth with the public member. If you've then got another point to make, or, you know, you as a board can open it up to that public member to respond, that's your choice as the board. And then if you just debate back and go back and forth, you know, between that public board barrier, that's when it degrades.
Yes.
So to address some of Pete's concerns, my view of that is what you're describing as the potential undesirable situation is really where someone is making a comment and then making another comment. I'm talking about questions, okay? And I guess it would be the board president's job to figure out if that was a question or if it's a comment. So if it's a question, it's like, is that really $500,000 or is that $50,000? Is there a typo? What is this? Who is the contractor? What, I mean, you know, if there's something that is not covered in the initial presentation that is a valid factual question, I think the smoothest way to take care of that is take the question, answer the question, because there's presumably a question. If it's a comment, if it's into, well, I think you should do this, sorry, that's not a question. You know, you can make the comment, but this is the you know, that doesn't get a response, okay? And it just, in the 3 minutes, take up your 3 minutes and say your piece. But I think that has to actually be the presiding officer's job to distinguish between those things.
So my question is, when you open, are you gonna after the, you know, general manager gives his, you know, report on it, are you going to open it back up to the public?
I don't want to. I don't want to have.
Well, then how are these questions going to be handled?
In what?
Are they just going to be handled? Okay. So we're sticking with the 3 minute. You ask your questions and your comments and everything on the 3 minutes, and then after that, the general manager tries to answer the question.
If there were questions, if there's a question, yeah.
But then that doesn't address what Ms. Crow wanted to do, and she wants to be able to, because he has said something during his report that triggered in her mind, or somebody during our debates triggered another thing in her mind that she has a question for. Are you going to handle that?
3 minutes.
Again?
No. Not I wouldn't.
The initial, when is that going to be?
I think we're I don't think we have different opinions. We have different opinions, but we're not far off. The only thing let me restate this, and then we'll see if I'm catching what you're saying. We have the public comment period. It opens, it closes. It can be full of questions, okay? And Bob, this, I'm not disrespecting your thoughts, but we get down to questions. It comes back to staff before it goes to the board for decision. I'll address the questions. Okay? I'll address the questions. If there are more questions, before you call for the vote, you can say, you can ask specifically. Because it may come back to the board, I'll give a report, the board will deliberate, and that will answer the question, that additional come-on question. But if you, right before, you took action, we prepared to take action, yes. Are there any remaining public questions on this matter? You're probably going to get zero, in most of the time. I mean, most of the time, it's going to be already resolved itself. Or somebody just fed up and doesn't want to come. You know, but still, you've given them the 3 minutes to come and ask questions. You've addressed your questions. Then if there's something that gets raised as crazy, you know, even after board deliberation, right before you call for the vote. Because if we do the back and forth, you'll never be able to have a timer. You'll never be able to keep the time limit.
So basically...
Hold on a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Nancy.
Kind of what you had said and then what he was saying. I think if the secondary question comes... And then the question was, how do we stop it if it just keeps going? I agree 100%. You're the presiding officer. If somebody is just being combative or just being crazy or just, you know, like at some point it's like, okay, you're done. You know, that's the end of the questions. I mean, if you've already done it once or twice or thrice type of thing. I mean, like you said, I think most of the time there's going to be zero. Maybe there will be one more. We can ask one more. But if one more becomes 15 and an hour has passed, you know, I think it's perfectly acceptable that you would just say, okay, we've answered all of, you know, these questions.
Second. Mike? John, you're next.
There's been so much now. I'll pick up where I'm going off. I want to ask a question. I would ask it to the president. You would choose somebody on the board to answer, or they just speak out?
The general, if it's a factual question,
right.
I would ask the general manager to answer it.
Okay.
Because he is.
So the board members would be quiet on that. It's his.
Do not ask a board member a question. Correct. You could ask the board. I refer to the general.
Right. Do I ask a board member? Let's say I want to ask John a question. Do I address John or do I address you?
You probably shouldn't do it at all.
Exactly. I feel the same way.
Okay. I mean, this is, you're not, we're trying to discourage direct interaction with individual board members.
And I agree.
We are a board, ask the board.
I agree. And so the board answers the question, he answers the question, somebody answers the question. And just like Kay said, it draws another question out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John says he wants to learn from the people, and that's how he does his business. John, you might have 30 questions, and you're going to learn from them. So don't sit there and say, I'm not going to answer. You only get 1 minute. You're not going to learn from 1 minute. So you're contradicting yourself.
No, I'm sorry.
Excuse me? Don't talk to you.
Yeah, you're right.
And I shouldn't start.
Okay, that's how
we're doing. Okay, John, you're next.
Okay, my whole thing on this, what Pete said, with the way Pete put it, is very acceptable to me. Because it's not so willy-nilly. It's in a spot. The questions are going to come up, and they're going to get answered. I'm accept that. That would be fine. What I don't want to see is, oh, I've got a question. You know, whenever you want to do it, there's a spot for everything. And your questions will be answered when they're supposed to be. And the way Pete put it just now, that's acceptable. And I just don't want to get to where we're having discussion and all of a sudden there's a question, boom, and we answer it. Then we're going on in our discussion, and there's another question. We answer it. That's when we get into trouble. At the end, after our discussion, the president will ask, does anybody have any more questions? That's when it should be addressed.
I think Mr. Edwards had the exact point earlier. That doesn't happen if people sit there and be quiet and you let the president call on them. was absolutely right in everything he said about that. So that arrests your problem, John.
Don't talk to him.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make this really quick. Time me, please. Okay. This is an example. We're talking about the contractor that's going to pave the parking lot, okay? Pete's giving a report, or it's a discussion item, whatever it is. He's talking about it and says, yep, and the contractor's going to come back, and we're paying him $40,000 and this and that. And then some little extra bit of information pops in there that is not in an agenda submittal about, yeah, I'm always here, go look at the part that was falling apart off the cliff over there. And I'm like, oh, excuse me, I have another question. What part is falling off the cliff? And do we want to use that same part? Or, you know, what's going on over there? And then he can answer that. It's not going to take him more than 30 seconds or a minute to answer another question. So in my mind, to move things along quicker, answer the dumb question and let it be done. It's like you're dragging this out to like 15 people asking questions. It's not going to happen. You answer the question and we move right along.
Okay, I'm just going to make a remark. We've established that we have differences of opinion about
this. Yes, but I'm clarifying less than one.
That question... The question in reference here is out of order. When she was making a question, it wasn't time to ask a question, is what she's... I think what she's saying.
Now? Aren't you saying... Question?
No. What I'm saying is during your scenario there, saying Pete said, okay...
Pete offers a new piece of information.
A new piece of information, right.
His answer.
Right, and you want to ask a question about it. You have to wait till the time to ask those questions, right?
Well, that is the time from the first question that he's answering.
Wait a second.
Have I misunderstood what's going on here?
It depends on when you think the right time to ask the questions is. We have a difference of opinion. I am kind of in favor of the idea of allowing a certain amount of direct interaction with the general, with staff during the initial question period to get it out of the way for factual questions.
Yeah.
Pete has proposed a different, and John, I think, is leaning towards back the idea of bundle the questions up and answer them all at one time.
Yeah.
So the question of whether it's out of order depends on what we decide is order. We haven't actually made that decision.
All right, I understand. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Carry on.
That sounded like a free-for-all.
It did. Yeah. One at a time, though.
Yeah. It looks like we're looking for some rigid... formation here to have answers to all the questions in the interaction between a public and a board. And that's not going to happen. You can have the guidelines, and the guidelines are supposed to stand for what the interaction is supposed to be between any board and a public. And it's up to Mr. President, with the power of the gavel, to maintain decorum and order. And if you know, right or wrong, what public meetings have you gone to where it's always been very nice and orderly and there's a great amount of decorum, nobody cusses at each other, nobody hollers at anybody? I mean, come on, give me an example.
Oh, we have them occasionally. Usually, usually when there's no members of the public.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's
no opposition.
If you go to the Board of Supervisors meetings, they're handled that way. And they're very structured. And so if you go to a Board of Supervisors meeting and sit through them, you'll see what meetings are run like.
County supervisor meetings in the last week. They've got their recordings. You can listen to them online. I have their videos. You can watch. They're very relaxed with the public speaking. If they have one more question they wanted to ask at the end of a comment, they're allowed to do it. Nobody says, that's it. No more. You can ask later. They don't do that.
Okay, so. I'm realizing that I'm running out of time. So, thinking about it, I think maybe I can go with what Pete is proposing, where we put in just at the conclusion of the board deliberation, we can ask, are there any further public questions? And then, again, it would be the board president's job to discern whether the thing being asked is a question or if it's a statement.
Can I respond?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we second?
I'm trying to find a way to get
right,
to something
right.
We can
so
agree
we
on.
Have, should we second that first? Board meeting, and there's three members of the audience here, and during public comment, Pete responded, and we had, she raises her hand with one more question, and we know it's to what he just said, because she just raised her hand. We wouldn't take that question then. We would make her wait until any other public comment was made and then ask if there's any.
That's one way to do it.
I mean, isn't it the president's discretion at that time to say, okay, yes, okay? I mean, nobody else is raising their hand, or one other person is raising their hand to move on to the next comment, but we haven't finished her first comment yet, really.
Okay, I get your, yes.
I think that at that point, if she has a question, she writes it down, and then when the board deliberates, the board might answer that question for her right then and there, and she won't have that question anymore. She can write it down. It's not going to get lost. She'll have a point at the end of the deliberation of the board to ask that question. And then the general manager can try and answer it if he can.
During deliberation, during public comments, there is no deliberation of the board, is there?
Afterwards.
No. I think you and I are actually inclined to the same way. I'm just trying to find something that we can get everybody to agree
right,
on.
Right.
That will still achieve the purpose of getting things through. So.
Yes, sir. They're still going to be able to answer that question, ask that question, and the same parameters, if Pete can answer it, he'll still answer it. It's going to be in a spot. It'll be after we get done with our deliberation. Then she might even have more questions at that point. Okay? So then she can ask every question she has at that point. And I agree with that.
Actually,
I just don't want, to me, when it goes bad is when we start just all suddenly popping questions off here and there while we're having a discussion, and that's not what it's supposed, you know, we're supposed to be able to carry on our discussion.
Right.
And then afterwards.
But we haven't started discussing yet. She asked a question, or a public comment.
Mm-hmm.
Pete answered. Nobody else has said anything yet.
Right.
She has, okay, well, she wanted a clarification of what he just said. Is that not allowed? That's what we're trying to discuss.
Well, okay. I think that's different. A clarification.
That's what we're trying to discuss.
Okay, that's different than a question. A clarification is, oh, I don't quite understand that. I don't understand.
So
I don't see why we can't
try,
do that.
So try this one.
Yes.
Okay, excuse me. So we got this procedure. So we open receive public comment. The board president closes public comment. Public comment and questions. We close public comment. Staff, I'm just running this through to see if this is. Staff provides answers. At that point, we say, is that clear? Did everybody get their questions answered? Are there any other follow-up questions or clarifications? And then we do our deliberation.
Yes.
And then we don't have
it. It does require people to hold their questions. But, rather than, I prefer to get them out of the way right going along, but it depends on what the board wants. That's not my opinion. So if we,
okay.
I mean, my opinion doesn't dominate. You and I think we're on the losing end of this. I'm not
okay,
sure.
Okay, so, sorry, go ahead, Nancy.
And I'd like to get consensus. I mean, this is one of those things
right.
where we'd really like to come up with something that
right.
we can all agree is acceptable because we all have to abide by it. John?
I think Nancy had something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nancy, have I been ignoring you?
Yeah, you have. She has her hand like this, and it doesn't mean she's holding her head up.
I've never been told for sure.
She'll have that for a long time. Yeah, I know.
I'll wait for Nancy.
Can I comment?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Open and receive public comment or questions on the agenda. The board will... Okay, see, that's where I'm confused. So if the, somebody, if Kay has a question, Pete cannot answer it at that time. We have to wait till the public comment's closed.
Well, that is this proposal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me just explain, because we seem to be all over and back and forth on this. It's just, you've got to understand, we're thinking about the people that are in this room and the dynamic of today. One thing that we're not taking into consideration is the remainder of the people that haven't been part of the meeting. You're elected to represent the whole. If somebody comes in and wants to participate in the meeting, but every person that is coming up, we're having a question and answer for 3 minutes or more, because again, if we could agree on 3 minutes, that's one thing. But a question and answer for 3 minutes before that person even has an opportunity to make a comment. I'm starting to go in circles now. Anyway, I am open to this, but we still have not gotten off of the feeling that someone can raise their hand and ask a question at any time during board deliberation and during public comment and multiple times, and that's what we were wanting to get a handle on, because that's what creates the controversy on every single item.
Second. Nancy, I'm sorry.
I missed there, but okay, so if I was understanding you correctly. Okay, staff will provide the answers and raise if there was, when you had said, if there was another question. I don't see the point in making people, again, if it's a simple yes, no, 50,000, not 500,000 answer type of question. If it's going to be some long, drawn-out thing, you could say we can table that for later. But I don't see the point. How many times, public and us, you wait and 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 you wait to make your point, and you go, oh, crap, I forgot not what I was going to say. You know, I mean, and that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be telling people, well, no, you can ask that question on this topic right now in 10 minutes. And it just seems silly to me. Ask the question, answer it. And then as the president, if it is long and drawn out or it's not related or whatever, it can be delayed. And we're not going to have people popping off back and forth and during our deliberation, because if we all abide by the things we've agreed to. And so far, our board today hasn't been doing that. As wait till your turn to speak, and then you speak. And then nobody's popping off on either side. And it's orderly, I think.
Did you want me to jump?
I've made my comment. I just think it doesn't.
I'm a little confused now, because what I originally said was, you'll have a manager's report or a discussion or whatever. The board will discuss it first. I'm not going to be in there. I want to hear what the board has to say. Then I would ask a question. Then the manager could answer the question. Only then in his answer. If there is something new, some new information that wasn't discussed that could generate, I'm not saying it always will, another question, that's where I wanted to ask the question, in the new information that wasn't presented in the report.
It sounds like
you're saying pop off questions here and there.
No.
There's a special place.
I think I am just figured out that there's two different times that the public gets to comment. Part of my questions and answers are for open public comments before any agenda item, and then we're going to talk about public comments during agenda items.
That's these. Yeah.
Okay. So just to clarify, in the beginning of the meeting, when the public comments are open before any discussion of anything else, at that time the public can ask a question, get a response, ask an additional question if it's regarding the same question, and get another response. Is that correct?
Or get it put onto an agenda item for the future. Public, we're not obliged to answer questions.
Well, I know we're not, but
it was a factual question.
It's a factual question.
It was an answerable question, of course, we want it to be answered.
Okay, so at that time, they should ask their secretary.
You need to go first, Mike.
I'm trying to get this squared away. I think you gentlemen here said questions during board deliberation. There's no questions during board deliberation.
Correct.
When you say public comment, that's the time. So you guys deliberate, we're not supposed to interrupt you at all.
Correct.
That's why many districts, many boards will deliberate and get a motion in a second and then get public comment.
That's right, yes.
At the very end. That's not unusual.
Okay, but then, I'm sorry. If you do it that way, then you don't have the option of changing the, well, I guess you could change the motion. If somebody asked a question.
I withdraw my motion.
Did you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as the mover and seconder agree, they can withdraw the motion, or you can just let it fail and make another motion. John?
You got to have some structure somehow. And you can't, I just don't, you know, talk until I'm blue in the face. I have nothing to say about it.
I think it's only fair that during the normal course of an interaction, me asking you a question, you answering the question, I ask a follow-on question, you give me the answer, then I'm satisfied with your answer, or I'm not satisfied, but that's the answer, okay, next person. I don't think there's any contention with that. I mean, is that okay? I mean, that's only a courteous, polite thing to do.
Right.
So you're talking about before the board has picked the item up, right? This is during public comment on an agenda item.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So specific to that question, how do you set a limit? If we're all willing to say 3 minutes, even with responses from staff, I'm golden. there's got to be some, because it can't go.
So I'm going to tell you my opinion. First of all, the president, presiding officer, casted, you know, if it's not a question, then you got to say it's not a question. You know, it's a comment. You get to make the comment, but there's no answer. If it is a question, we're back to 3 minutes, okay? How long does it take to ask a question? How long does it take to answer a question? We probably disagree on this one, but I think 3 minutes is 3 minutes.
For every question?
No, for that person. That person gets 3 minutes. If they want to ask a question, get an answer, ask another question, get another, it's 3 minutes, okay? When the 3 minutes is up, if it appears to the president that there is still useful information being described, you might extend it. But that would be a very exceptional thing, because 3 minutes is a long time. Somebody says, who is Ha? I mean, or what is this contractor doing? They're going to, you know, we're going to have them look at the Ferretti Road project or something as long as they're here. What did that take? 10 seconds? Probably five. You know, I mean, you know, it's 3 minutes. When I'm talking about doing the inline question and answer, that is based, in my opinion, on the idea that each member of the public gets 3 minutes. If they want to spend their 3 minutes asking questions, they can do that. If they want to spend their 3 minutes reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, they can do that. It is...
I'm trying to facilitate now, because I want to get to the end of this damn thing. We've got three board members at least shaking their head that they want that thing. Okay? All right? So,
wait.
Hang on. Just hang on. Bear with me. I'm seeing three at least head nods. Yes. Okay. So, we'll set a 3-minute time limit and see how it works. Okay?
Where is
my
it
best
going
to be? It'll be public comment up front. It'll be public. Open the item, give a staff report, public comment, and then within that period of time, we can go back and forth. And then at 3 minutes, you can say, you know, we're done with this. And then it goes to the board for deliberation and action.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, John. So,
You introduce the item.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes to public comment, right?
Introduce and give a staff report on it.
Okay.
Staff report,
so, okay,
preliminary
so,
board discussion for clarification.
All right. And then it goes to the public comment. They have 3 minutes. They can ask questions, whatever. Mm-hmm. You might answer questions if you can. And then after they're done with the 3 minutes, it comes back to the board of directors. The board of directors do their debate and talk about it, and then we vote on it.
Yep.
Perfect. I'll go for that.
I think, personally, you should scratch number four. I think it the way it should be is the board president or the manager reads the item, the staff gives the report, the board talks first, and then the public asks the question. You don't need it twice. If you want to shorten your meetings, take away number four and leave us after board deliberation and vote. If there's any questions at the end, that's where the public can make it simple. You don't need it twice.
That's fine with me.
I know it would be, but it's fine with me, too.
Well, then that's fine. We get rid of the willy-nilly.
All right, so...
Does that make sense to you?
Well, so let's see.
Let's keep this simple. Leah, I'm lost already.
We go through it so that we open the... We read the discussion item.
Right.
We have staff report. We have a little bit of chit-chat with the board if anybody wants to get some specific clarifications about what this actually is. Somebody makes a motion, or they don't, in which case we're done with that item, but if somebody makes a motion in a second, we open the it's moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? We have some board discussion. We open public comment. Public makes comment. They can ask questions. You get 3 minutes if you want to ask questions, whatever else. We close public comment. The board can then deliberate further if there was anything that came up because of the public comment that has caused anybody to have a change of mind or something, and then we vote.
Perfect. There you go.
I can do it.
Because you don't need it twice.
Well, there is not twice, but moving on, as you say, many boards put the public comment.
It's a standard practice. The only thing you get accused of there is people will come in and say, you made a motion, sir. You mine made up before you even came in the room.
Well, but the counter to that is, once you've made a motion, you actually have something to know what you're talking about.
That's right.
Before the motion happens, you don't even know what's being debated.
See? Yeah.
Well, what's being debated is what the staff just reported.
The agenda item. Right, but still, there will be occasions where the motion that arises from that may not, there may be more than one possible motion.
Right.
So somebody has to make a
motion.
Well, why not listen to it after we're talking about it? Because you want to have them be commenting on the motion that you made rather than just on the world in general. Okay. Yes?
I like it. I like it, Bob. I think that what it does is it, you know, my whole thing is I want to keep it, all the public comment and everything in one area. But you want everybody to get everything they need, and that makes the best sense because we deliberate, might bring all the questions up, and then they can ask their questions and do their public comment. It's perfect.
That's
I
great.
Like it.
Okay. I'm just going to make a comment here real quick because I know you have to leave here by noon. All of these meetings, the reason they're so long is there are at least two or three of you who really talk a lot. You really should listen to the audio recordings and kind of listen to yourselves. The 9/11 meeting started 42 minutes regarding one question regarding an accounts payable item. It went all the way to an hour and 21 minutes. So I would highly recommend that all the board members listen to some of the audio and listen to who all's talking and what's being said.
Okay.
So a lot of rhetoric.
And I'll add on and repeat it over and over again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't complain about the public repeating questions because the board does the exact same thing.
We can't stop ourselves. We have no power to keep ourselves from repeating.
No.
Okay, I liked what you just said, except I don't like the motion and the second part. I think that for some reason makes it sound like I'm decided already. I'm not going to listen. You know, I don't care what you have to say. Make the motion, but don't. And then open it to the public.
And then
it can be changed if it wants to be changed. I mean, I don't want to withdraw my question. You know, that's the part I'm having a problem with.
So, I'm sorry, I may have misunderstood you because you said
we
that.
We have our board discussion and deliberation. Then you say someone makes a motion and someone seconds the motion, and then we're going to listen to the public.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you misunderstood. I think you misunderstood me. I'm saying that let me clarify this. We have after the preliminary discussion, we get our clarification, and then somebody makes a motion and a second, and then we open it to the public. Or actually, we have discussion and then open it to the public and then have more discussion.
Right.
But everything happens in the context of there being a motion on the table so that we know what it is we're discussing. Yes.
It also, I think to open up the dialogue on the item, it has to have a second. Because if it doesn't have a second, it dies.
Okay.
So so you have to have the motion, you have to have the second, then that opens it up for discussion, and then after we do our discussion, then we'll go back to the public. Public will give their comments, questions, whatever, go to the general manager, he can answer their questions. Do all that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
you're
absolutely right.
But you have to have a second.
Yes. Okay.
So, are we... It's completely different from what was up there
that's
on the screen.
Okay.
But it's better now. Are we okay with that?
Good with it.
We're good with it.
Has anybody got a problem with trying it? I mean, we can always change it. If we turn out that we don't like the way it's working, we can always...
Change the first meeting. I'm sorry.
We can always change it. No, you can make random comments. You just don't pay attention to you.
My random comment is when you change the first meeting.
What was your comment? I'm sorry.
It'll be changed in the first instance.
But by using this procedure, okay, so are we okay with that procedure?
Yes.
Good. All right.
Yes.
What's next?
Go on.
Well, I'm going to next.
It's up to you. 5 minutes. You have a question?
Yes, sir.
I have a question. I want to back up earlier in what he was saying about getting something on the agenda.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, the public person getting something on the agenda. I'm a little confused about this. I come in and the staff was going to answer my question. Remember, if you had a question, don't bring it to take the staff.
Yeah.
I go in and I don't like the staff's answer.
Okay.
I want it on the agenda.
Okay.
How hard is that to get done?
You send the district or hand the district secretary or send the district secretary your requested agenda item. And it will be considered by the president
and this is after I've already gone through the steps of I don't like his answer or her answer or the staff's
answer. Well, it doesn't even you can do it before you go through the steps if you want to, but yeah, the procedure for getting an item on the agenda by a member of the public is you submit it to the district secretary and then that will be considered by the GM and we will have a consideration of it and it, as long as it's not doesn't involve Bigfoot. I mean, as long as it's not a species, it'll go on the agenda.
That process then really hasn't changed.
No.
That's been the same. Okay.
Yes.
None of this changed.
The only thing that's different from the conversations that we've had, and we're obviously not going to make it through this today, but the only difference that we've had is that the policy of the board right now is it is only the president. The general manager is not mentioned in the decisions related to the agenda.
Well, I think the president would normally discuss it with the general manager.
But with the direction of the board before was that we were adding that.
Yeah.
So when we do the overall policy amendment, it's going to be...
Among other things, we want to make certain that it's not going to violate the MOU with the union or that it's not going to be some sort of, bad thing.
I'm not mad. I'm leaving a happy book.
Thanks, Bert.
Before we move off this, let's just repeat it because I want to make sure we get clarity. Board president introduces the agenda item,
right.
Staff report.
Yes.
Board president may seek initial board input or thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Board deliberation motion second. Open and receive public comments. Staff will provide answers to public questions if raised and directed by the board president, we can leave that in or out, but I don't want to take over your meeting and just take up that period of time. If you say go ahead and answer it, then...
Yes, the board president is the person who is being the presiding officer, has to decide if that's a reasonable question. You know, should you answer that question? Which would normally be yes, unless it turns out that it's not really a question and it's just a political comment disguised as a question.
So then the board president, then everybody that wanted to comment has their 3 minutes. Board president closes the public comment, comes back to the board for a final deliberation and a vote on that motion or modification of the motion. Sure. Okay?
Good.
Yes.
I agree. I'm on board.
Is there any objection?
No, I'm going to...
Without objection, that's what we're going to do.
Okay, perfect. Okay. And may I ask, is there a way that that order of march can be put onto the agenda? You know, so...
Yeah, actually...
Or is it already on there and I don't
see it? No, it's not. This is... I'm going to change this now because this was based on the past recommendation. This would be something that would be read, and we'll you know, let me modify it based on our discussion now, so we don't get confused about it. But yeah, we've got that opening statement on the agenda, but
no, we should. This should be part of the stuff that all the little fine print on the back that says this is how stuff works.
Yeah.
So you can just kind of flip over and you're following.
I like it, like he said. Like where it says here,
called
the order,
Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, we could put it in the
fine print. Thing. She can make the boilerplate out of it.
The number four.
Yeah. He did already.
Okay.
He did? Yes, he changed it. That way
I won't forget to ask for public comment. Like I did.
Yeah, and we always know where we're at.
And for, you know, in another month here, it's going to be a new president. So, sitting at that chair, does it know the president's
been out there? We haven't actually discussed mandatory rotation, have we?
No.
I can do it today either.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So I have to leave.
Mandatory.
You guys can keep going if you want to.
I think
we're done.
I think we're...
You want to continue to
beat this horse.
I have to.
How much more do we have to discuss?
Okay, let me just go, because I would like to be able to say we're pretty well done. So I think we talked about addressing the needs of the community. The board can always consider a workshop. We can, you know, we haven't worked through it all the way there, but we want to. We think in public comment in the meetings, we need to make sure people know they can do it. If people aren't coming to the meetings, we're hearing stuff out in the public, we may need to do a workshop. We just need to say, let's do it. Let's not waste our time and just do it for the purpose of doing it, but let's... Purpose.
You can always use it for strategic.
Director request for action. This is simply just, a lot of times you'll have somebody, a director say, I really want to report on that. And then it'll go on to the next thing. And then that director still thinks that report's forthcoming. You know, so you'll hear me say, is that the consensus of the board? Because everything that comes out of this is work for me, then for Jennifer, then for them, then for Field, you know. It's so request for action. You can request a report be prepared or brought back, and you know, but you'll hear me ask for consensus of the board. Is that I'm not being testy up there. Outside of meetings, understand I'm gonna say thank you for your comment. Okay? An individual director is no different than an individual person.
Yep.
Even the board president, board vice president, there's no authority of a board member to ask me to do something or ask a staff member to do anything.
Right.
Okay, so this would be just an agreement and understanding. We don't have an issue with it. Internal communications. Do we have any concerns with internal communication from the general manager to the board? We talked a little bit about a written report. My only hesitation with a written report is it never contains everything. And it is something that is going to push the agenda packet out further, I guarantee you, because I'm going to want to do that last. But I can do it. It's just going to be, I could try to do a summary, but understand, you know, with bullets. But most of the things that I'm going to be reporting about are on the agenda. Anyway, I mean, they're already on the agenda as action items. If I'm just talking about things all the time.
I like the bullet. I like the summary.
Okay. Let's see how it works. for November. Let me just, you know, but again, it's not going to be a big, just going to be, here are the topics that I'm going to address verbally. So, you know, again, these are just communications, understanding that a board member, if you're telling me, you know, some things, we've got to work it through a process. There's a board process for agenda development and all that. Talked about project status of operations. All of those things will be, I think we decided before that we were pretty good with the way that the report's laid out, you know, and again, I'll just add a manager's report. And site visits, we did it. We did one. We want to have a public venue and get a bus and bring some people around. We think it's going to be pretty popular. We're pretty excited about it. We're already planning on at least seeing how many people want
to
do it.
On a related topic, got to talk to the, and suggest, this is not a direction, just a suggestion, talk to the Italian chief about scheduling some of the board members to go to Ione. That's really a great trip.
Ione's a great trip.
It's a great trip. The training Kel, the Kel Fire Training Facility.
Yeah.
I've been. I don't know if you've been. So.
Yeah, we went to Cal Fire's training in Ione. It was awesome.
It's really an eye-opener.
Nice facility.
What it is we're buying with our Cal Fire money in terms of training.
Perfect. So are you okay with organized site visits versus individual board members saying, hey, I want to tour this, hey, I want to tour that?
Mm-hmm. I like the organized.
Okay. I thought that worked well.
I think it's good, too. That doesn't mean, Spence, you can't come in and say hi to somebody on site, you know.
I stop by where they're working all the time.
But understand also that when you're on site, if you stop on the side of the road and they're
both having it, man.
You become the boss immediately.
It smells like prosperity.
Right.
You become the boss immediately, even if you don't want to be, and you aren't.
So don't.
In fact, you're a real detriment when you stop and talk to them about, you know, what they're doing. The reason I say that is because they get confused. They, you know, they're, but it happens. It's normal. Just understand. Just respect that thought process. You know that they're gonna think that. Whatever you say out there is the management law of the land from there forward, you know. And it gets kind of weird sometimes. But that's it. I mean, confidential document management. We have agreement that when we have confidential documents that are part of a closed session, that they're going to come back to Jennifer for destruction. For you know, we don't want to keep confidential documents. We haven't had a lot in your house. In your email, any of that kind of stuff. If they're confidential documents, they need to come back and be.
You're not supposed to keep it on a server in the bathroom?
Carry on.
That's the last one.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
On the internet, when Ronnie posted about the visit that we, the tour mm-hmm. that we just had, and you know, potentially having public tours. I think you mentioned that there was a five-hour tour we just went on. I think that's going to scare people from wanting to go on it. Maybe we could have different tours. We want to have a firehouse and water treatment plant tour together one day, and then have a visit where people drive all around and look at different spray fields and treatment plants. Different, you know, lift stations and stuff. At another time, maybe, you know, make it less than, I know it. We ask a lot of questions, but so is the public. Yeah. So if you've got a bus full of people that want to go.
Most people are not going to want to
five hours is way too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Adding on to that, I thought the tour was great for us. It was great, mm-hmm. but it was long. And one of the great things was, whether you were talking to or listening to Greg or Louie or the firemen or whoever, the passion that everybody has for their job, because that's fabulous. But that also gets worried because you have a passion for your job. So I almost think like if they would kind of do up almost like a little bullet point, like while we're at this lift station and want to comment on this and this and this, because those are the three main things it does. And then that would kind of keep them a little more, it would shorten it up a little bit, because it's not going to just be a whole lot of just chatter. It's going to be more informational, although you know, some of the chatter is good. But at the same time, if you're on a bus with, you know, 15-passenger bus with 15 people behind you, you could be like the little Disneyland tour guide who can actually be saying, okay, now at this next stop,
we're going to see this and this, and this is what it does, blah, blah, blah. You know, so a lot of that, a lot of that could already have been said before you even got there. And that would kind of tighten up that 5 hours into a more reasonable 2 to 3, like we were thinking 3.
Right. Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay, excuse me, I have to go.
So we may have running it just for the purpose of, because we're losing board members, we may want to just have it as an agenda item and just get it more dialed in before we start spending money on it.
Yeah, I'm through. Okay. No question.
Definitely.
On the public site tour program.
And the whole of it.
That was an excellent tour. It was. A lot of wealth of information. But I like your ideas.
So the rest of I don't know. I started in the beginning and then I went to the end and then I came back. The only thing that we didn't talk about that has come up since I went through this in the beginning was whether we want to address the policy related to the officers of the district, the president, vice president. Is that do we want to address the policy in any way to make any statements about rotation, about I don't want to say term limits because that's not really an issue, but or are we good with just our policies?
I think we do need to talk about the policy, and I know Bob wants to talk about the policy about who is board, is it rotation, and what we're doing is. We nominate somebody and vote on them, and they get to be the board president, vice president, that kind of thing. There's also a treasurer involved, but we don't do that here. There's also another option of the rotation. Some boards say, well, everybody needs to be president at least once during their term. And there's some validity to that, because the president gets a lot more responsibility than anybody else on the board. And, like, keeping order during the comments, that's a very big thing. Keeping things in order and on track is the board president's. Also, when the board's not in session, he does a lot of interaction with the GM and also comes in, signs bunches of checks, and does different stuff like that. So there's a lot more to being president than there is to being just a board member. And so that's the justification in some cases. If you're going to be a director for a special district, you need to get that under your belt once. That's some people's point of view. I'm not pushing that, but I'm saying we should get that policy out and take a look at it. What do you think? I'm open for it. I'm not demanding that. I'm just saying that's something we should consider.
Nancy, you have anything you want to say? Did you agree?
Like this, but nobody thinks that.
No. I agree with that. I think that's a great idea. I think everybody should serve as president. We'll open it up public for comments. Okay.
I think it's important that because you have two sets of terms, you've got the 4-year term and the 2-year term, you get your 2-year term people in first so they get a chance to do it because your 4-year term, And then when you get your new 2-year terms, You know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I agree. Anybody else? Comments? Okay.
And that's not a mandatory. It's a statement of intent.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In your policy.
I think we're. I know Bob's ready to be done.
He's been president 2 years.
I've been nominating him for like 4 years, 5 years now. So he's been president a long time, and he's ready to do it. Be done. So we should definitely entertain that.
Now, excuse me. Isn't that something that's done after every new term?
December board meeting, the board shall select the president and vice president for the next term.
So we probably should do it then.
Is it every December?
Yeah.
Or annually. Well, the current policy.
The elections in November would take place at the following board meeting, which would be December. So that's when
we're not elected every year. When I said after the election.
Well, I think usually there is somebody elected every year, and this just turns out that everybody gets.
I don't know. You know, I always thought there were like 2-year positions, 4-year positions.
There are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have the 2-year positions. Right. You guys have 4-year.
Okay.
They're all 4-year positions. Yes. They're just scattered, so you're not always, staggered. Thank you.
Okay, so usually every other year there's right. one.
There, yes.
But we've done it, and we've addressed it every year. It's just that we've kept Bob doing it.
Yeah.
We've wrangled him into doing it. So, yeah, but I think we should do it. Yes, definitely. Anybody?
The reason that everybody's up at one time is because we had 2 appointments.
Right.
And that appointed term goes to the next election.
Right.
Right. That's right. Otherwise, it wouldn't be everybody at once.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anything else?
I don't know whether you want to go through. The only other thing that I had was just to go through and talk about. Yeah, see, this thing that's doing something weird here.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. It's the internet. It's a dirty internet connection. Look, if you got one sentence on there, you're good.
Carolyn?
No. Okay, so we already went through this. We went through and agreed. I'm really proud of us for getting through all of that stuff, the public comment stuff. And then I'll revise that reading at the beginning of the meeting to reflect our current. We went through the relationship norms. This is online, so if you want to look at it, you can pull this up with my modifications. It's running right now. So this is what we agreed to as far as the relationship, the capacity, the process, and the communication. Okay? So this would go to the board for final consideration and I don't think there's anything there that is going to create any controversy. That's internal how you deal with yourselves, and you've been doing much better at practicing that. Some policy amendments. We just talked about one policy amendment and changing, adding a statement of intent on the officer's policy. We wanted to add general manager providing an orientation to new board members. If possible.
Do we have a policy on LAFCO?
Yeah.
What about it?
Do we have one?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
On whether we participate or not? No. I mean, I don't know what we'd say, really. I mean, the board's adopted a resolution of interest to be part of
it. Okay, that's good. That's all we need.
So we did talk about the, in our training section of the board policy, a recommendation that there's board member attendance at the Special District Leadership Academy.
Yes.
Okay. That is if you make it a requirement, how do you enforce it?
Right.
So it's a strong recommendation. We want to state it so that we can say, hey. Recommendation that 2 board members attend CSTA annual conference. The budget will cover those expenses. Annual. We talked about adding an annual retreat or facilitated strategic plan as part of board development. We haven't taken that any further, but I think we're.
I know. We can bring everybody up to my place and we can clean out the chicken coop. Good team building.
You know, the retreat is, you know, you can't, it's not a closed session. A retreat just means you're focused on talking about goals and objectives and that kind of thing. But it's, you know, you take public comment at
some period of time.
So we'll keep that. That was discussed, and I thought we landed on it. I saw some questioning eyes. We'll put it in there, and then if we want to clarify or take it out or whatever, we can when we go to the board.
Is that Amanda's baby?
I think Amanda's baby.
Yeah.
Amanda, board game's over.
Modify the agenda preparation policy. We talked about that to add GM as part of that. Part of the role with the president in determining the items for the agenda. In reality, Jennifer and I prepared the draft agenda and ran it by the president because it's usually staff-generated items. This is an important one. Strengthen board member meeting attendance requirements. The law has one thing, The law says, you know, if you disappear for three meetings, if we don't basically, according to legal counsel, if we don't know where you are for three meetings, you've abandoned your post. But the board decided we wanted to have written notice for excused absence. It could be an email, whatever it is, something to say, hey, I'm sick, a text message, whatever that is. Three consecutive meetings of any type receives a letter from the board president, you know, because we talked about regular meetings versus special meetings and all of that, but I mean, every meeting is a serious meeting, and a letter from the board president. After, you know, if somebody's missed three meetings, they've got to make a written commitment, hey, I'm committed to the goals of the district. Okay? And again, if somebody is gone for three meetings, and many times it's because they've passed or whatever, then they've abandoned their spot.
I guess if they pass, it really
is. Is that what you said they passed? They died?
I mean, that's yeah, I mean, most board members don't disappear and then never check in.
House in the sky.
Yeah. Yep. But
you clearly don't have a lot of interaction with your other people if you don't hold that before me.
Yeah. So that was it. This was something that will show up in the board's policy.
I'm sure there's people in this district who would know the minute I died.
Then there was a less formal, we're having some fun. Protocol that we talked about, this is not really policy, it's just more of an expectation protocol. Receiving public comment, we've kind of gone through that. That'll become, it'll be on our agenda. It's not really a policy, it's just a protocol. Response to public comments and questions, we did that. Media communication, that was something we said we wanted to have a statement about how we deal with the media and all that. It's not a policy, it's just a protocol. Communication plan, we developed that as something that was an outreach guideline overall. And the next steps, I have November here. I don't know with some of this stuff whether November's going to be, we'll be able to get it all together, because that's really coming up pretty fast, but that's still a goal, because we still have to, you know, do the draft, look at the policies and do the draft policy revisions and make sure, because we're probably going to do draft policy revisions and say, while we're at it, we want to address this, 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 and this, you know, that are in old statements. So, anyway, we did it. We went through it all.
Awesome.
Yay.
Good job. So many hours of. Good clarity today.
Yes. I move that we adjourn.
Agree.
Yeah.
Second.
I think that's a second. Okay, that's a second.
By any other name, that's a second.
It's been moved in a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Five. We can all thank Vicki for pointing out to me that.